Hello and welcome to the latest Cooper Talks. And going to be doing another medical one today, the last of the kind of case studies for the GCSE medicine course. Ooh, strap yourself in. And this one is going to be about the discovery of penicillin and antibiotics in general. So this is going to be building on work. If you studied it, you'll know. If not, just to fill you in. This was the 20th century idea of the magic bullet. And it was called that because it would be a form of treatment that would destroy all the bacteria, but not harm any healthy living tissue in the patient. So that was the idea of the magic bullet. The first one of these had been developed chemically as a compound of arsenic, compound 606, to cure syphilis, and that had managed to work, and that was in 1909. After that point, scientists in the 20th century start to try and find more effective types of antibiotics, things that would actually kill off the bacteria without harming the patient. And penicillin was probably the most revolutionary of those, the first true naturally occurring antibiotic as opposed to one that's synthesized by humans. So how did this happen? Well, a number of developments. The first thing is that the mold penicillin was discovered by Alexander Fleming. Now, there's one of those great history myths that everyone knows, that Alexander Fleming left a cheese sandwich out and he came back and it was moldy and he went, oh, that'll cure stuff. And that's not true. Alexander Fleming worked at St. Mary's Hospital in London, and he was researching into bacteria, and he'd been a doctor who used one of the first magic bullets to treat syphilis. He'd worked during World War One and seen the effect of infections on wounded soldiers and how many men died from the infections more than their wounds or their injuries. And in the 1920s, he really focused on trying to research substances that might be effective in combating relatively simple infections such as Staphylococcus. In 1928, now this is where it comes from. 1928, he had his dirty petri dishes because he hadn't cleaned them out properly. Okay, and in one of these dirty, mouldy petri dishes, well, they weren't mouldy; they were full of bacteria. But one of them had developed some mould. Okay, and he goes, "Oh, that's interesting," because the mould appeared to have killed off the harmful Staphylococcus bacteria that he'd been growing in the dish. So not quite a mouldy cheese sandwich, just some left out petri dishes. Anyway, Fleming goes on to test the mould and he identifies it as something he will call penicillin. Now, Fleming is not the first person to discover this mould called penicillin. People in the Middle Ages had recorded using mouldy bread with healing properties. Rub the mouldy bread, wound heals up. And Joseph Lister had used it to treat a patient back in 1871. So it's not new, but because people now understand how bacteria work and because they're looking for chemical treatments for disease, more people take notice of it and more people are interested in Fleming's work. Unfortunately, Fleming theorized that penicillin would only be effective on dead bodies or inanimate bodies. He did not believe it would kill bacteria in living people because bacteria is a mold, and when he tried to mix it with blood in test tubes, the kind of penicillin mold didn't really work. And so he said, oh well, it's just not going to work as a cure. It does kill the bacteria, but it's not going to work when you mix it with blood. And he kind of left it there. Now, that was in the late 20s. A few years later, okay, there were two scientists called Howard Florey, who is an Australian pathologist working in Oxford at the medical school there, and he had a colleague called Ernst Chain, who'd escaped Nazi Germany, where he had been a biochemist. So these two guys are working at Oxford, and they're doing research into antibiotics. Now, they're trying to find new ideas, or maybe even looking at old ideas that hadn't been pursued, and they come across some neglected research. They come across Fleming's findings, and they decide, well, you know, let's give it a go. Let's see if we can make it work a bit better now. So Chain grew the mold in his laboratory and used extracts for tests. Now, they first tested their extracted penicillin on infected mice, and the results did look promising. because it looked like penicillin was killing the infection the mice had. Unfortunately, because penicillin, like you had to grow the mold and then you extracted the penicillin bit from it, which is an active ingredient in the liquid the mold produces, you need quite a lot of this liquid. And the active ingredient only makes up about one part per 2 million. So 2 million mold molecules for one particle of penicillin. So that's quite a high ratio there. And that meant growing a lot of mold had to be done before you could actually get a decent amount of penicillin. Okay, particularly enough to treat a human. So quite limited in this one. So Florey and Chain, they set about growing as much as they could. They grew it in everything, milk churns, bedpans, bathtubs. Okay, just grew mold wherever they could possibly find it. And by 1941, they'd grown enough, they thought, to test it on a human. There was a local policeman who developed an infection after being scratched by a rose bush. And he developed septicemia or blood poisoning as a result. And this, again, before the days of antibiotics, this was quite a common risk if you were scratched by something. Now, Florey and Chain only had a small amount of the penicillin, despite their mold-growing exploits. But they gave it to the policeman, and he showed signs of recovery almost straight away. So that looked really, really good. However, they didn't have enough penicillin to actually cure him completely. So I'm sure, as we are all aware, okay, if you don't take the full dose of antibiotics, even if you're feeling better after a couple of days, well, the bacteria is still there. And once the antibiotic's gone, the bacteria will start to come back. And that's what happened. So the policeman got ill again, okay, because the bacteria hadn't been eradicated from his body. Florey and Chain collected the patient's urine, lovely, and extracted the leftover penicillin from it. And then they gave it back to the patient, presumably sterilised it. Well, they can't, it's mould. Anyway, but they cleaned it up. And again, he showed signs of getting better. But again, it could only be done so often before the active penicillin had been used up fighting the bacteria. And eventually the patient died. Oh, that's not nice. So penicillin had been proven to be an effective way of fighting infection. But the problem remained of how you were going to produce enough of it. Okay, and what this would require is mass production of penicillin. You would need a factory process, okay, to manufacture the mold to get enough penicillin going. Now, that's a bit of a difficult one. Okay, the results are promising, but you know, you go up to a factory owner and say, "Hey, do you want to grow a load of mold for this penicillin stuff?" And Florey and Chain tried that, but the issue was in Britain. When they went to the various pharmaceutical companies and said, "Look, this is going to be a game changer. We can do this." Well, the Second World War was going on and everyone was a bit busy on other things, mainly producing materials for the war effort. So experimenting, growing mass quantities of mold for this thing that might work was not a top priority. So instead, Florey went off to the USA and visited them in July 1941. Now, America was not in World War II in July 1941, and so they were a bit more receptive, and the pharmaceutical companies began to develop penicillin. So they started growing the mold in beer vats, and it was very, very slow. Okay, it took a long time. It was a long process, and after a year the US companies together only had about enough penicillin to treat 10 people. So not great at that stage. However, once it began, people saw penicillin was like this miracle cure, and saw the benefits of the drug curing these people when it was administered and actually allowing them to survive simple infections. And so the US government steps in and funds 21 pharmaceutical companies to begin mass producing it on a huge scale. And the British pharmaceutical companies, realizing the benefits during the war, became involved in 1943. And by D-Day, June 6, 1944, when, and by the way, if no one knows, the D in D-Day stands for day. That's right, it's Day-Day. But anyway, by June 1944, there was enough penicillin to treat all the Allied casualties, which meant a lot more of the Allied casualties would survive injuries because they wouldn't get they wouldn't die from the infections, which had been a major problem during World War One. So absolutely huge there. So let's just think about the five key things that had to be in place to enable the development of effective penicillin. And the first thing, you've got to have the individuals. Florian Chain built on the work of Fleming. Okay, so all three were looking specifically for a chemical treatment for disease and illness. And to take, you know, if Fleming hadn't done his initial discovery, would Florian Chain have been able to build on it? Equally, Fleming had discovered it but didn't take it further. So had it not been for Florian Chain, there wouldn't have been any penicillin developed. Flory, also to his credit, refused to patent the drug because he wanted it to be available for everyone. And that meant the developments didn't cost as much money because you weren't having to pay rights to any individual. So those individuals mattered. On top of that, you needed the science, okay? You needed to have the microscopes, the technology to be able to observe how penicillin attacks Staphylococcus bacteria. And they could then use that to modify it to attack other types of bacteria and other infections, okay? So so you also needed institutions. You needed that if the US government hadn't stepped in and agreed to fund Florey's research for 5 years and enabled the mass production of the drug, then again, we might never have had the quantities to make it a workable solution. Again, you needed the technology of mass producing and storing penicillin to be available in vast quantities. So again, that all required the sort of factory processes that are developed in the 20th century across America, coming out of the car production and meatpacking industry. So those technological developments were really important as well. And of course, attitudes in society. During World War I, simple infections had killed lots of people during the First World War, much more than the actual weapons. And people wanted a cure to this, particularly when Second World War was going on. So society really was desperate for this solution. And therefore, the clinical trials and evidence that they needed was made available before it was made available to the public was fairly reduced. It was rushed through because of war, basically. So again, all those factors contribute to the development of penicillin, which in turn leads to the discovery and use of other antibiotics. So how has the use of penicillin developed since? Well, penicillin is effective in treating diseases caused by the Staphylococcus family of bacteria. So it can be targeted at particular strains within that and variations of it, but really it's just that one infection, which is quite a common one, so it's quite important. And it can also be used to prevent infection. And so it's particularly used during teeth extractions to make sure they don't become infected afterwards. Because obviously there's a lot of bacteria in your mouth. So that's pretty good. It also made scientists look for other molds that could be used to fight bacterial infections, such as streptomycin, which is a big one because it was so effective, it could even cure tuberculosis, which people had long thought was incurable. The only way to stop it was by removing the lung or part of the lung. So that's a big game changer, and you know that would lead to the vaccines as well. And then you have a lady called Dorothy Hodgkin who maps the chemical structure of penicillin, and that allows scientists to work on synthetic versions that they can modify to treat other variations of diseases. So this is huge. All of this would allow doctors to carry out treatments against a wide range of illnesses. People became more confident in medical procedures and the treatments they were being given. A lot of faith in antibiotics. Patients then are encouraged to go and seek out medical treatments for doctors. Now they know there's this seeming miracle cure that will work. We do get a problem with the overuse as a result of that. And it also means that surgery can, more intrusive surgery can take place without the fear of infection or with reduced risk of infection. So those are huge. Now, obviously, you know, one of the problems with the overuse of penicillin and other antibiotics is that bacteria can become resistant to it. The bacteria will mutate to resist attack from the penicillin mold. And then, therefore, antibiotics will become ineffective. Now, this isn't a modern phenomenon. There was a penicillin-resistant strain of bacteria as early as 1942. And that's why pharmaceutical companies have to keep working to develop new forms of penicillin and other antibiotics that will kill off this bacteria. But the more we rely on the same antibiotics and the overuse of them, the more bacteria will develop. So, Yeah, antibiotics, major change for the second half of the 20th century, but it is not a foregone conclusion that they will always be around. And so that's why there needs to be lots of investment in antibiotics. Ooh, that's almost a political point there. Anyway, there you go. That's the last of these case studies that I've done on medicine. I'm going to go back. I want to do a bit more on Russia and the Cold War, and I want to do some Elizabeth things. Oh, and I might even do some Luther stuff to treat you lucky people. But yes, I hope this is a relatively short one, which is quite nice. But I hope that's been useful. And yes, I hope you're getting a lot out of this. Thanks for your time and good luck. Take care. Bye.